Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture today comes from the 4th chapter of Mark, verse 26 through the 34th verses. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Holy Spirit, breathe into us this day the words that you speak about in your word this day concerning the kingdom of God. We are your children. You are our Father. Encourage us this day, O Lord, to be the people you have created us to be and to become. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a sower, it says. You and I may be familiar with this story or think that we are. This story that we read in Mark is unique to Mark. This is not a story that is the first one in Matthew, Luke, or John. It's only in Mark. The parable of the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. When it comes to the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, there is a trust that you and I must have as to who brings this about. In the Bible, the scripture says it is God's good will to what us the kingdom. What is it God's good will to do to the kingdom? It is God's will to give us the kingdom. Who is the giver? God. Who is the recipient? You and me. Who is in charge of bringing the kingdom of God about? You and me? Don't think so. Well, that should leave a lot of stress, huh? That should leave the kingdom of God is not totally up to you and me to bring about. Now, there are some things you and I are responsible for. We don't shrug our responsibility. That's not we as Methodists. We have responsibility, and we take that very, very seriously. There's some things we're in control of, and we take that very seriously. There's some things we're not in control of, and those are things we have to trust. You know, we tell everybody else to trust, don't we? How easy is it to get on the phone or to send a card or to have a conversation, and you and I tell somebody else, listen, you're just going to have to trust God. Well, you and I know that we can say it a lot easier than we can hear it. But Mark wants you and me to hear that there are some things that you and I have to trust God about, because there's only one thing that is bringing in the kingdom that God is in charge of. He's the one who's going to bring it about, and we can trust Him to do so. Fathers, I talk to you today concerning our trust in God, concerning our families and our children. One of the things we do as dads is we want to provide for our families. We pray that our jobs hold out. We pray that we are in good health. One of the most frightening things a father can experience is if he's in the hospital or if he's been diagnosed and all of a sudden he doesn't know whether or not he can provide for his family. That is one of the most frightening things a father can ever experience. Because dads who love their families, that's one of the things that many families, many fathers of families take very, very seriously. You know, the Bible talks about a father who doesn't support their family is worse than a what? Have you read that in the Bible? Have you ever read that in the Bible? The Bible says, a father who doesn't support their family is worse than an infidel. Have you ever read that? Google it. Google it. You can Google it now. That's okay. A father who does not support his family is worse than an infidel. And the reason it says that is because God provides for us. Therefore, fathers are to provide for their families to be an extension of their heavenly Father. So one of the things that we as fathers take very seriously and what we pray for and what we depend upon our heavenly Father for is jobs to support our families. One of the things also that we fathers take very, very seriously is the care that we give our spouses. It is our desire as a father to live an example for our children. Personally, it is my desire to live before Timothy how a man should treat a woman. If I talk to Mary like a dog, which she would not allow me to. I had one church parishioner once say, Mary, she's a lot like many women that I find in church who's very, aggressive or assertive. I guess that depends on which political word you want to use. I had one guy who didn't really value women who were very assertive, and he said to me, can't you control your wife? I had a man actually say that to me about Mary. I said, no, sir, I control my dog. I don't think I can control my wife. See, the reason I can't control Mary is I did a really bad thing. I shared with her my feminist theology class in seminary. I should have never done that. No, I didn't have to do that. Her mother, Dimple, showed her how a woman should be treated. We as fathers take very seriously how we treat our spouses because we teach our children how to treat their spouses when they are married. If Mary allowed me to talk to her like a dog and didn't say anything about that, Timothy may think that that's how you treat a woman. So he would follow that. But if Mary calls my hand at it and Timothy also sees that, he also sees that, oh, wait just a minute. Women also have a say in how they are treated. So as husband and wife, we teach our children how to be husbands and wives, which are very, very important. Very, very important. My girls need to know that Mary does not have to do everything I tell her without question, because if my girls know that, they may meet a man and do whatever he wants them to do, and you know how disastrous that can be. Amen? Therefore, my girls grew up knowing that they can question a husband's authority, because everyone, man and woman, father and mother, the Bible says, is to be honored. Office, their office is to be honored by all persons, because it is not an easy task. So today, fathers, you and I have a very, very important role to hold. We hold it very serious. How we treat ourselves, even. You and I work very hard as fathers to make a living. And sometimes we let job take over our family. I will never forget a preacher telling this story who said, there was once a pastor who was on a vacation with his family. They were in a park eating lunch, enjoying their time together. He got a call that someone had passed away. He packed his bags and he left his family and he went to preach the sermon of this man who passed away. And in his sermon, he said about this man, here was a man who loved his family, who never let his job get in the way of his family time. And he said the preacher said it without even realizing what he was saying. We as fathers go to make a living, but we don't want to sacrifice the living by making a living. You and I know that our time together with our children, with our family, is a very, very important time, precious, and the little time that it is. So God wants you and me to know that we can trust God with our families, that He is with them when we can't be with them. He is with them. As our children grow, Phil DeMore said to me, Randall, when you lose control of your children, and you will lose control, you have to trust God. You and I have heard the Bible say that if you raise your child in the ways of the Lord, when they grow older, they will not depart. I want you and I to remember now what that is. That's not a promise. That's not a promise. That's a proverb. What's the difference between a proverb and a promise? A proverb sometimes comes true. A proverb is sometimes true. A promise is always true. Well, you and I know that everybody who was raised in church when they have gotten older has not gone back to it. Some have, but not everybody. See, what it is that when you and I raise our children in the church, if they ever depart from it, they've got good enough sense to know where to go if they leave it. Amen. They know where to go back to. They're not ignorant. They've been shown the example. You know, I meet parents and have met parents all along who don't go to church and who say to me, I'm giving my children a choice. And I'm going to say so bad, what choice are you showing to give them a choice to choose from? You know what I'm saying? You know, I go to the grocery store and they see me buying groceries. They have a choice of whether to buy those groceries or not. But if I don't go to church and I don't show them a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't know that I've given them a choice compared to myself. I've really shown them what choice I have made. You and I, brothers and sisters, have been given the responsibility of living before our children, our grandchildren, that example which gives them a choice. Whether or not they choose it or not is completely up to them. Fathers, you and I also need to know that you and I can only be responsible for our children up to a certain point. We, as children of our parents, can only blame our parents so long. We can only blame mama and daddy so long. Yes, we as parents contribute to our children. I've told Timothy and Rachel and Anna they're going to need a lot of counseling once they're through with our household. There's going to be things I've said, Mary said, we've all done together, where they're going to need a lot of therapy probably, because we make mistakes. But not only do I as a father show my children how I behave in relationship with my family, I also show them what a repentant father does. One day I punished Anna for what Rachel had done, and I thought I had gotten the right person, but I didn't. Well, you know what we as fathers might do. We just might ignore it and go, well, you know, mistakes happen. You know, they'll live through it. They'll forget it. Oh, no, I don't think so. Have you ever been accused and punished for something you didn't do? Have you forgot it yet? I don't think so. I haven't. So I went to Anna, and I said to Anna, Anna, your daddy has made a big mistake. I punished you instead of your sister. And I said, I want you to know I'm sorry. I will try to not make that mistake again. That's modeling for your children that parents also make mistakes. Children need to know that parents make mistakes so that children can also live up to their mistakes that they make. If I live in a family as a man and never admit my mistakes, I'm going to raise children who don't think that they have to admit that they make mistakes. That's not a good thing. The Bible says to repent, which means to change our minds. And we can change our minds. We grow. That's a great thing about the opportunity of growing, is we can change our minds. So brothers and sisters, today is Father's Day, a day when we as men take our role seriously in our families. We have to take our roles in our families because we care and we show our children the way we are to live. I can't let this opportunity pass without me saying something about Dr. Tim Leard and his wife. I should have said Dr. Karen Leard as well. They are both doctors in veterinary medicine, I need to say. One day they came to me and they talked about hearing about a food program that fed children. And they wondered if they could present it to the church. And I said, let's do it. I stayed out of the way. So they wrote it up, presented it. And I suspect they're still doing it. Three or four schools. Four now. Three now. Every Wednesday, they pack backpacks, bags of food. And the counselors and the teachers know who these children are who are hungry. And on the weekends, they go away with food to eat. It has been my experience that every time I've been at a church and that I start something, when I leave, it dies because it was Randall's. Randall started this. Or it wanes. But when the laity does it, and the preacher leaves, it doesn't wane. It doesn't die. Every Wednesday night, the younger congregation is there to pack bags for children. That is still happening to this day. That goes to the next parable. The kingdom of God is like mustard seed, or you and I might want to talk about kudzu. We might be more familiar with kudzu. Because God help, if you plant kudzu and let it go, where is it going? Everywhere. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. It's like kudzu. If you start planting it, don't be surprised if it gets everywhere. Brothers and sisters, you do that too. I am at a church where there are people who give thousands of dollars to missions. We have people who need light bills paid, rent, shelter. They need help. And this congregation has a missions committee who sits down and who meets them when they can and who talks to them. And who shares with them our willingness to help. And we plant a seed. Do they always come here on Sunday? No. Will they ever come here? They may not. But do they go away knowing that someone cares? Yes, they do. Might they use us? Yes, they might. But brothers and sisters, when you and I help somebody, we don't do it out of their love for us. We do it because of God's love for us. That's what we respond to. I don't let them make me determine whether or not I want to help them or not. I talk to Jesus about it. I discern the Spirit. And if he says move, move. If he says no, no. Today, brothers and sisters, this is our Father's world. and we are his children, who is responsible for living out his family life, which is to love one another as he has loved us. May we pray. Oh God, this is your world, and to our listening ears, all nature sings. And we just pray, oh Lord, that as we stand this morning and sing, that we would remember whose world this is and whose children we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.